The sermon tonight continues in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Please join me there. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Pray with me. God, as we look at your word and we see what we really don't want to see, not signs of luxury and signs of peace free of tension, but we see that in your word you promise us trouble, but you also promise us your peace, not as the world gives, but as only you can. God, help us as we wrestle with this truth, as we wrestle with our own thinking to conform our minds to your word that is conformed to truth and to reality, that we would stand firm in persecutions and trials, that we would stand firm in pressure, and that in them we would turn to your word. So help us now with peace and with grace and with confidence to bear our hearts to you in order for you to do surgery in our lives. In the places that we've resisted in the past, Father, and even in the places that we haven't even been aware that need work, reveal that to us now, and we will be changed, and we will shine for you. In our own lives, that we would see our own testimony in our lives and be confident of our salvation. That we would shine in our own households for one another's comfort and peace and as a testimony. That we would shine before our friends, that those that we imagine have been friends or imagine have known you and loved you, but now we see that they don't. God, that we would be confident there and that we would shine as examples there as well. God, bless us now as we seek your face. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I saw this story in a movie. And in this movie, there was this old farmer, and he was a grandfather. And he set to work putting together a birthday present for his grandchild. And he had this picture, and he worked, and he made a beautiful-to-scale dollhouse, and they showed him labor at it, and they showed this old man working and diligently painting tiny banisters, and he put this whole beautiful thing together, and on the day of the girl's birthday, he brings it, and the child looks at it, and she screams, "That's the wrong one. That's not the one from the catalog," and she begins to wail and cry. And when I first saw that, I thought, that little brat. And the grandfather, he just kind of leaned back and he grinned. There was never any explanation as to why he was grinning in this situation and what he was looking at. And I always found it endearing and it has always puzzled me. But lately, as I've been looking at children and as I've been looking at infants, and I see when they're not getting the things they want and how they just throw their heads back and they just wail, and the tears even begin to flow at the smallest thing, at the slightest thing. I look and I sit back now and I grin. And really I see myself. I see a pure description of my own heart. I see a pure description of my own attitudes. When the pressures are on me and I am not getting specifically what I want. See, these pressures in life, they come. And these pressures in life, they happen. And we find ourselves not getting the things that we want. And we would wail and we would moan. And we do wail and moan but on the inside, but we're just too polite to show it most of the time. But it's where we really are. Well, we see in our lives that this wailing and this moaning that takes place, it isn't the godly response. We see in Romans chapter 5 here, verse 3, that we are to rejoice or even exalt in our tribulations. Because it is, in fact, God working. I don't know how many of us have ever been in the situation where we find ourselves in the ER and we're getting stitches and we're exulting then in that situation. How many patients are there in a situation where they're getting a treatment and it hurts and they're rejoicing in it? Well, I think our physician friend could tell us that when someone knows that they really need healed, when they've seen that they are really in a bad spot, they're really in danger, when they really need cleansed. In that place, when we accept and know and believe that what God is giving us is exactly what we need, in that place we can exalt in our tribulations. And this brings us now to our first step tonight, but would be our fifth step in the outline. We glory in the strength that He gives us to persevere, it should be. We glory in the strength that He gives us to persevere. In Romans 5, verse 3, once again, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. It was last Sabbath, we were on vacation, and we attended First RP, and it was there that I heard Matthew chapter 10 being read. And when that passage in verse 22 was read about those who endure to the end will be saved, that had always been a stumbling block for me, that passage. In the past, I had always looked at that and I thought, oh, well, that means I might not be saved. That means I might not make it. That means that if I don't really try hard enough, I'm going to hell. But this time, as Pastor Filbert stood up in the pulpit and he read that passage and said, those who persevere to the end will be saved. I was blessed as God gave a particular peace to my heart and I let out a sigh of relief. Because that perseverance that will take place in me is not my strength. It is not what I will accomplish. It is not from what I have done. Those who persevere to the end are those that God has taken hold of their right hand. And though they stumble badly, they will not be cast headlong, but they will persevere to the end. And this is what we see Him accomplishing in us, in our pains, in our sorrows, in these pressures of life. He is building that perseverance in us that will accomplish that great work. And we'll know it when we see Him face to face. Again, Psalm 73, 26, which we sang this morning. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We see Him doing this work in us. So take heart. Take heart. Take heart when the pressure comes. Take heart when you're not getting exactly what you want when you want it. When you feel yourself wailing like that infant. Take heart and know that He is performing a good work in you, that He is giving you the strength to persevere. This brings us to our next step. This would be step number 6. God will bring about justice. God will bring about justice. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, we see another side of the perseverance. We see another side of the pressures that we're facing. And we see not just the way that God is working in them, but we see God's response to those who are putting an ungodly pressure on you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all of your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. So we see the boasting that we touched on before, that we boast in God, we boast in His glory, we exalt in His glory, we also exalt in our own tribulation. And we see here that the apostle is saying, we are exalting in you. We are actually boasting about you as you persevere under these trials. So as we stand rightly in our trials, as we stand rightly in these pressures, we are giving confidence to others. And we are giving that testimony out that's being announced to the world. So we see a multiple fold of God's work in what He's doing in our perseverance. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all of your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. So we see another work is going to happen. Those who are afflicting you unjustly, they are going to receive it back on themselves. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. For our testimony to you was believed. Now, this is the truth clearly spoken, that those who afflict you unjustly because of righteousness, it's going to come back on them. Now, we can look at this and we have to choose how to respond to this. Some of us, in different circumstances, we might say, yes, good, good. Well, it is good. It is good, or God wouldn't do it. It is good, or God wouldn't say it. And yet, as we are, there's a tension involved here, though. As we see the heart of God, and we see the heart of Christ when He was afflicted. In Luke 23:34, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up His garments among themselves. In Matthew 5:44, it says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In Acts 7:59-60, when Stephen is being killed, they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep, and we understand that means he entered into his eternal rest. There is a tension with this idea of the judgment. Many of us, and even some of you, when I've talked with you about people who are oppressing you or afflicting you, and I've said, oh, there will be a judgment, I've seen sadness in some of your eyes. Some of you have responded, yes, but I don't want that for him. Some others of you, I think I could say that to you, and you would probably say, good. And it is good. But we must watch ourselves. We must guard ourselves to see that we're having the mind of Christ in these circumstances. As we look, and as we could even consider Psalm 83, a great psalm of judgment, as it goes through, it comes to the place where it says, that all the nations will fear you. That these these pains and these judgments and these things come, that people would be turned. So look at your heart and see if your desire for judgment is a pure judgment in order to see Christ glorified. That's the right judgment. If it's simply to set yourself above others, we would have to look and we'd have to see and we would have to seriously examine our own hearts then to see if this judgment that we would call out for is a righteous judgment, if our indignation is a righteous indignation. So let's acknowledge that tension. Let's wrestle with it in our own hearts to see that we're thinking rightly, to see that we're feeling rightly, and to see where we need to make adjustments. And this brings us to our seventh step, and that is to repent of bad responses. Romans 5:3 again, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. So look and see, what has your response to pressure been? Has it been exalting in trials? In preparing for this in the past weeks, as I've looked at the circumstances of my life that I am not excited about or that I don't like, the neighborhood in which I live, for example, and the pressures and the fears, the tensions that come along with my neighbors being thieves and robbers and drug dealers, and sounds like child abusers as well, and people coming through my yard and checking my door to see if it's locked or not. I've hated it. I have hated it. I've been angry about it. I've been very unhappy about it. And I read Romans 5. And I have to come and I have to bring it to you. And I have to tell you to exalt in your tribulations. And I look at the infants and then the toddlers in our church and I see them wail. And I have to laugh. Because I look at my pain and I look at my suffering and I set it next to what we see in Isaiah chapter 53. I take it and I set it next to Paul. I take it and I set it next to Stephen. And I see myself as this infant wailing. And God tells us, we exalt in our tribulations, our pressure, the pressures of our lives. We exalt when these things happen to us. We exalt even in the midst of these things. I tell you this now because God tells it to me. Because I need it. I tell you this now because God says you need to hear it. You need to make this adjustment in your life. This is a change that must take place in each of us. And as we looked in Psalm 119, verses 57 through 60, first, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your word. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. Then in verse 59, and this is one to just go ahead and learn to memorize, to remember for the rest of your life. Psalm 119, verse 59. Commit it to memory. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. We each need this. We each need this. None of us have arrived on this topic. We each need to direct our feet towards his testimonies. And this is going to be about directing our affections as well. And how do we direct our affections? But by directing our thoughts. But by taking every thought captive. I think I've told you before about the idea of meditation. Well, I know I've told you before. When I had my own business and I had to travel around and literally find work every single day. At the end of the day or throughout the day, I would ask myself, have I made any money or how much money have I made today? And I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I thought about that. To this point, when my mind goes limp today, that thought That meditation comes back. Have you made any money today? How much money have you made today? From meditating on it just for 3 years. We must take every thought captive. In our infant state, what are we wailing? The babies can't say what they want, usually. Sometimes it's, I don't want to leave. My nephew cries that every time he has to leave his cousins. I don't want to go. And he wails, and he wails, and he wails. What is your heart crying when you are discontent? What is your heart crying in the midst of your trials? That sobbing, that lamentation, we must put Romans 5:3 there. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now this repentance that we're talking about is also going to look like repenting towards others. When we've responded like the natural man in our pressures, and we've just unloaded those pressures onto other people, and we've hurt them with our anger and our frustration. We can imagine the toddlers not getting what they want, and you try to pick them up and they flail at whatever's grabbing at them. It's just an honest picture of us, isn't it? The people we've hurt when we are not getting what we want, when life isn't what we would want it to be. Now, in order then to direct our thinkings to reality, and we dig down to the foundation, and this is our last move, dig down to the foundations of reality. So we would not get what we don't want. We would be mad and we would be grumpy about it as we are considering what we think we deserve. We would look at what is, and we would say and decide, I deserve better and I deserve more. But we remember that God's sovereign hand is over everything, giving us what is perfect. And now we're going to read Romans 5:3 through 6. And this is digging down to the reality of each situation that we're facing. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we look at our circumstances and say, I'm not getting what I deserve. God looks on your circumstances and says, that's right. That's right. You're not getting what you deserve. I laid down my life for your rescue so that you wouldn't get what you deserve. His love has been poured out into your heart for your full and your complete rescue, to give you everything that you need. Digging down to the reality means digging down to who you are in Christ. You who are His, you are loved. You are loved. We've talked about this love as being committed to an eternal good. You have been loved in such a way that God has been committed to your eternal good. The suffering that you face now, it's because God is committed to your eternal good. The pain that you face in each circumstance is because God is committed to your eternal good. This is that discipline that we looked at this morning. This is God doing that work in you to bring about that completion. We know that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And there it is. So who will you be? Who will you be? We know that in eternity, we know that at the end, we're going to see all of this, this proven character. We're going to see this hope that does not disappoint. But who will you be now? When the pressure hits, maybe for most of us, probably not when it hits, as it continues, who will you be? I call upon you in accordance with the Spirit of God, in accordance with His Word, in accordance with God's sovereign purpose in your life. See the reality of your circumstances and exalt in your pressures. Exalt in your tribulations, knowing that He who has begun a good work in you, He is bringing it to completion in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, our Lord, we exalt in You. So often we have thought that You love us when there is no pressure in the moment. And then we question Your love when You discipline us. Well, God, cause us to see things rightly and cause us to exalt in You in our tribulations and our pressure and in all the trials of life, that we would know perseverance and proven character, that we would have real hope as we love You and as we trust You completely. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our final Psalms are 51.